You're listening to the audio production of If I Live by Terry Blackstock, published by Zondervan and read by Kate Rudd. This book is lovingly dedicated to the Nazarene. 1. Casey. Fried rice isn't worth dying for. I never should have come inside. I should have stuck with fast food so I could use the drive-thru, order into the box, and get my food through a window. But I needed to use the restroom and wash my face after hours on the road, and I was sick to death of burgers, fries, and salads. I stopped at a Chinese restaurant nestled within this shopping center, figuring not many diners would be here this time of day. The lights are usually dim in Chinese places, so with my long brown wig and the glasses I'm wearing to hide my eyes, I thought I could pull it off. But the media has shown multiple sketches of how I might be disguised. The circular booth in the corner is full of college students. A girl looks at me, then whispers to her friend, and now everyone at the table is staring at me. One of them gets on the phone. Trying to look calm, I amble toward the front door. The waitress runs after me. "Food almost ready." "I'll be right back," I say, though I have no intention of returning. Outside, I hurry up the sidewalk. I reach for a door to the anchor store and glance back. Two of the girls have darted out of the restaurant and are talking animatedly on their phones. I glance toward my car. I can't get back to it now. If those girls see me get into it, the police will know what I'm driving and I'll have to get a different one. I'm running too low on cash. I couldn't have gotten this one without Dylan's help. I go into the department store and look around for somewhere to hide. In the back corner of the store, I see the sign for the fitting rooms. I slip through the door and find an empty dressing room with a door that locks. I lock myself in and sit on the bench to catch my breath for a minute, my mind racing through options. The college girls saw me enter this store. Any minute now, the police will be here and I'll be arrested. My heart pounds and the sutures on my shoulder feel like they're ripping. I wonder if they're getting infected. I readjust my sling, but then I realize it's a dead giveaway. It may even be how the students spotted me. I take it off and stuff it into my bag. I also pull off my wig and pull my dyed black hair up into a ponytail. Keeping my arm close to my ribs, I find my baseball cap in my bag and pull it on, ponytail through the back, and take off my glasses. I shrug off my outer blouse, leaving only a tank top beneath it. I shove my sunglasses on and consider myself in the mirror. I do look different than I did 5 minutes ago. Fatigue weighs me down, probably from blood loss when I was shot a few days ago, but I have to keep moving. I hang my purse strap over my good shoulder, then pile the clothes hanging in the dressing room over my arm as a prop. Never mind that they don't fit me or look like anyone in my generation would wear them. I just need to look like a normal shopper until I can get out the back door. I venture out of the dressing room, careful with my wounded arm. Feigning interest in a sale rack, I glance around for the girls. I don't see them, so I look out the front window. I see a blue light flashing. They're here. I head toward the back, hoping I can find a door somewhere. There's a swinging door with a sign that says Employees Only, and I drop the clothes hanging over my arm and push into the back room. I hurry past boxes and racks of clothing, a broom closet and a mop bucket, and an employee bathroom. I see a back door for deliveries. I open it and look both ways up the alley. There's no police car here yet. No one is out here. I cross the alley and walk, as weak and winded as a heart patient, through a patch of woods that takes me uphill until I have a view of the parking lot. I sit on a stump behind a cluster of trees, watching the college kids talking to the cops and taking selfies with police cars in the background. This will be all over social media within 20 minutes. Cable news will pick it up, and maybe even network news. This town is ruined for me now. I have to leave. I keep walking through the trees. On the other side of the woods, I come out in a bad area. There are men loitering on corners and lightly clad women approaching cars stalled in traffic. I see a girl with a curly blonde.